Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that all things do work together for good to those who love you, who are called according to your purposes, Father. And we thank you for the many good things that you've brought into our life this year. And we thank you for the many dark clouds of providence that you brought into our lives this year. For we know that those too are good. For those are used in your hand, Father, to conform us into the image of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus Christ to come and to die for the sins of his people. And Father, we'd ask that you would bless the going forth of the word, that the Holy Spirit would move mightily in our midst tonight, that the word tonight would be a sweet cordial to the hearts and the minds of your people, Father. And we would ask you all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The text tonight is Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. As we end 2008 and look forward to 2009, I think it's only proper that we should stop and think about something. How many of us can look back and say, I wish I could do that over again? Most of us here tonight have made mistakes in our lives. These setbacks and failures can overcome us to the point that we fail to enjoy the life that God has given to us. John 10:10 tells us, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, life, more abundantly. We need to realize that the devil, Hasatan, will constantly remind us of our past in order to rob us of the joy that God has provided to his children. He will constantly remind us of our past. The good news is that regardless of what has happened in the past, God says that we can have a new beginning. Last year, we made resolutions. I promised this. I promised that. We're not promise keepers. We're promise breakers. Most of which we didn't keep. Resolutions, promises, we didn't keep. Such as improving our relationship with God. Praying more. Reading the Bible more. Being more involved with church. Or how about spending more time with the family? The list could go on and on and on. In all honesty, we have all made resolutions which we didn't keep. All of us. Mistakes, bad decisions, all of us. The good news is that God is more interested, though, in our future than He is in our past. Unlike some people, God isn't stuck in our past. As far as He is concerned, the good news is that the books are closed on it and it's over. God forgets. God forgets our sin. In our text, Israel is being punished by God for their sins and their rebellion. He has chastised them. He wanted to give them hope and encouragement. God wanted them to know that even though they were being punished, they were being chastised, they were not being forsaken. Satan's lie is, God has forsaken you. Punishment was not the end for them. Chastisement was not the end. Actually, God in the text is saying, well, He wanted to give them a fresh start. He's going to do a new thing, a new beginning in His life. The lie of Satan is, it'll never be the same. You cannot come back. It's over. Can you picture Israel reflecting on that past, what had been done for them? God parting the Red Sea, providing manna, crossing the Jordan into Canaan, and similar deliverances. I'm sure they felt like God would never deliver them again. They remembered the glory. And Satan will always tell you, not again. He will never be the same again. But God says, I'm going to do something new. That's where we are with God. You see, we get down and out. We let Satan remind us of what we are not. What we are not. We let the situations and the circumstances get us down. Then we feel like God wants nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. Just the very fact that you're hearing this word, God wants something to do with you. It's not Satan saying to you, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Satan is saying to you, behold, things are always going to be the same. There's no new deliverances for you. There's no new beginnings for you. It's over. You sinned away. You sinned away grace. There's no such thing, though. Grace is just the opposite. Grace just keeps on coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And just grace has one word on the lips, saying, just repent. Just repent and come home. But Satan says, it'll never be that. Tonight I want to share with you, briefly, how to make a new start with the new year. I want to share with you the acronym START. S-T-A-R-T. Regardless of what your situation is, START can show you the way to a new beginning. The S. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming others. It's his fault, her fault. I'm not a victim of my own circumstances. It's the circumstances. Making excuses, blaming others. The circumstances that I'm in. Other people can interfere with your life only to the point that you allow it. You have to accept responsibility. That's the first step in starting over. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming others. Stop blaming the circumstances and accept responsibility for this. Look in the mirror and say, there's my problem. Right there. That's my problem. Not him, her, them, that. Him or her. That's the problem. Turn to Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But, see how glorious that but is? Oop. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. See? Whoever confesses them and forsakes them. That's it. There you go. You will talk about grace right there. There's mercy. He covers his sins. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever, put your name in there, whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. See, this is our Father. But the House of Tan says, there's no mercy for you.
But that's, like I'm saying, that's the very essence of mercy and grace. Turn there while you're in Proverbs, turn to Proverbs 16. But see, you have to first stop making excuses, stop blaming others, stop blaming circumstances, confess your sin, and forsake it. Proverbs 16, verses 17 through 20. The highway of the upright is to what? Depart from evil. Notice, it's saying you're upright, but what does it say? Depart from evil. So obviously, upright people are involved in evil. Well, it wouldn't say the upright. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The upright get involved in evil, and Proverbs says to depart from it. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See? They're the ones that don't want to depart from evil. Verse 19, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely, the word that you're hearing tonight, heed that word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The one that believes there is forgiveness, the one that believes that there is a new start, that there is a new beginning. If we face our problems, face our sin, properly deal with them, we can have mercy. One reason we fail also is that we fail to face our problems, face our situations. Noah didn't wait until it rained till he got started. He didn't start the ark when he seen the rain coming down. We have to prepare in advance. You have to prepare in advance when sin is knocking at the door. You have to have it in your mind prepared beforehand that when sin shows up, that I'm going to flee. Not that I'm going to embrace it. The more you embrace it, the easier it is to come. You have to prepare beforehand. Another thing with the yes, getting started. We don't seek good advice from others. Pride gets in the way, like I just read in Proverbs. We don't need anyone's advice. We're an island unto ourselves. The ego means edging out God. We know more than God does. We know more than our brothers and sisters know. Ego trips are always dead end trips. If we fail to prepare, we fail to listen to other people, we're going to fail as a result. We didn't prepare for sin when it came knocking at the door. We fail to listen to other people. Also, we give up too soon. While you're in Proverbs, turn to Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. This is a race, brothers and sisters. This is not a little sprint. Turn to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. See, that's the beauty of a marathon. If you fall, you can get up and still be in the race. If you're in a 100-yard dash, you fall, it's over. See, but we're not in a 100-yard dash. See? And that's what Satan would have you believe, too. That you're in a 100-yard dash, and as soon as you fall, it's all over with. As opposed to a marathon, you fall, you get up. You fall, you get up. You fall, you get up. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, see, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So once again, see, this is the upright, the condition of the upright. They struggle with sin. It so easily ensnares us. Any one of us very easily can become ensnared by it. And let us run what? With endurance. The race that is set before us, not the sprint. Looking on to Jesus, see, an objective faith, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father, of the throne of God, and he's making intercession for you. During trying times, we stop trying. That's our nature. During trying times, we give up. That's it. And like I said, Satan's always there. You're right, dude. Just stay right where you're at. It's all over with. You need to stop making excuses, admit your responsibility, I have sinned, and get on with life. If S in start stands for stop making excuses, then the T means to take an inventory of your life. Evaluate the experiences of the previous year. You're to learn from your mistakes. I did that. I know that bad trap right there now. Let me go around it. You're to learn. You're to take inventory. You're to learn from your mistakes. Four kinds of experiences that God uses that we can take inventory of our life. Our personal experiences, our family life, our job, our school, our spiritual life, our church, Bible studies, painful experiences, death, injury, friends forsaking us. Three questions to ask when taking inventory. What have I learned? What have I learned in this past year from all of these things that have happened? Do I keep repeating the same mistakes, the same sins? Do I keep falling into the same thing? What are my assets? Hard to believe, but you have some assets. Your health, your freedom, your sound mind, your friends, your church, but most of all, the Lord. Who can help me? Hate Satan always. There's no help for you. Who can help you? First of all, the Lord. You Christian brothers and sisters, you don't have to start over by yourself. You who are spiritual, what are you supposed to do? When your brother confesses and repents, put your arm around him. Say, brother, I understand, but for the grace of God, so goeth I. You're to take inventory of your life. Third, the A, we're to act in faith. You're to stop making excuses, the S. You're to take inventory, the T. The A is you're to act in faith. You will not change anything without faith. You must believe what this Bible says about you. You must act in faith. Faith embraces the promises in the Scripture. What the Bible says, you believe to be true. If it says you're dead to the dominion of sin, that's exactly what it means. And you act in faith by according to what is written in here. Are you expecting things to be better or worse in 2009? And if you look at your circumstances and everything, you're going to say, it's going to be worse. But if we use faith, by faith, God has promised you, I came to give you a life and give it to you abundantly. If you don't have an abundant life, you're calling God a liar. He said that He came to give you an abundant life. He came to give you joy overflowing. Let's look at a man who acted in faith. Look in Acts 3. There's somebody acting in faith. He had to believe. And he wound up with more than he could have possibly imagined. Acts 3, verses 1 through 5. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. There's a beggar got the hands out, and he's expecting something. And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, what? Expecting to receive something from them. He expected to receive something. He was down. He expected to receive by faith. He acted in faith. The lame man acting in faith expected alms from the people. And in reality, what happened? He got much more. He got healed. But he had the faith enough to be carried to the temple, expecting a blessing there. When we act in faith, we have to stop feeling sorry for ourselves, for our situation. We have to stop rehearsing the past over and over and over. It's like, cut the tape and throw it in the garbage. You keep repeating, it's like the 15th thousandth time you're watching the same movie. Stop rehearsing the past. Stop regretting the past. Paul said, I press on, I don't look behind no more. Getting rid of fear, failure, fault is not so much removing it from our life, but it's moving ahead in spite of it. If you're fearful, if you failed, you are to move ahead in spite of it. Acting in faith can be doing the very thing that you feared the most. The very thing you feared the most. There's a reason why you fear that the most. And you look to God for deliverance from that very thing that you're fearful of. If A stands for acting in faith, then the R stands to refocus. If we want a new start, we need to rethink the way we're doing things. Basically, sit down and say to yourself, why does my life stink? And it should not stink. We are to. Romans 12:1-2 tells us, turn there. So you can get that into your head to refocus yourself. You're scattered all over the place. I beseech you therefore, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're to refocus. If you haven't been reading the Word every day, start the new year off. Make it your heart's desire to read the Word every day. Joe just sent out a plan for reading in a year. If you can't read in a year, that's fine too, but read every day. And your mind will be renewed. You won't be conformed to this world. You won't be slipping and sliding. I guarantee you, the old adage is true. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. If you're involved in sin, I guarantee you, you're not reading this Bible. You're not going to open it up and look in the mirror and see how wicked you are. That's the point. That's why it's so important to read every day. That's how you renew your mind. And lastly, if R stands for refocus, then T stands for trust. Trusting God. Depending on God. We already know that's why we failed over the past year. We cannot do it on our own. Trying harder won't get it done. Being successful as a Christian is to know for sure that you're one. You must know you're a believer. That's why when you get involved in sin, Satan's like, you're not a believer. So you must know. How can you trust God if you don't even know you're a Christian? And you're to submit to God. You're to believe Him, what He says. Turning over a new leaf will not do it. All these resolutions people make tonight, that's not going to do it. Trying to do better just won't get it done. Turn to Zechariah 4:6. There's only one way that this is going to be done, to start. And it ain't by you trying harder. That was your resolution last year. This is only done one way. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But by his spirit. By walking in the spirit, moment by moment, trusting in God. That is the only way that you will live the Christian life. Moment by moment, you're to walk by faith. You're to embrace everything in this book, moment by moment. The moment that you're about to participate, whatever the sin is that you reach for or rises up out of your heart, at that moment, you must believe that you're dead to the dominion of sin. That Christ has set you free from the sin. That you need to no longer walk in sin. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to not participate in that sin. That's it. And let us end with Psalm 32. For anyone that may think
They're no longer a child of God. Well, if you're not a child of God, this is what you need. This will be the last word for the year for the bread of life. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. See, the blessedness is knowing. Transgression forgiven, your sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Does not. It's not charged to your account, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, see, when I refused to confess my sins, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. See, unconfessed sin, your hand, his hand heavy upon you. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah, meditate on that. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I have not hidden my sin. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah, meditate on that. Think about that. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, see, when all hell is breaking loose on you, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. See, the one that knows that will be singing some songs. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding. See, if you've renewed your mind, you're going to have understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, or else they will not come near you. Many sorrows. See, like all the people out partying tonight. See, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. It's party time tonight. But tomorrow, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. See, the one that trusts in the Lord. The one who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround you. Trusting in the Lord, mercy surrounding you. Lastly, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And why are you righteous? Verse 2. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us a hope. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we can repent right now at this moment, and that is it. It's over. We thank you, Father, that you are a merciful God, that you are a forgiving God, that you are a good God, a kind God, a long-suffering God, a patient God. And Father, we thank you that you deal with us as your children, that you do not deal with us, Father, as your enemies. We thank you that we can go into the new year knowing that we have peace with God, that we have been justified by faith, and therefore we have peace with God. Though we were your enemies, though we were without strength, though we were helpless, though we were sinners, that you poured out your love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that you made us alive, that we are new creatures, that we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that you have not left us as orphans, but you've left us with a book, with a treasure house, with a treasure house of yourself. On every page of Scripture, we see you. And Father, I would pray that you would draw your people this year,
that your people would fall in love with you, Father. That your people would know you and Jesus Christ, that this is eternal life, that we would know you intimately. And Father, we talk to you in prayer. And you talk to us through your word. And Father, I pray that we would relish the time that we can be together with you, Father. And I would pray that you would bless the body of Christ throughout the world. That in this coming year that you would draw us. That you would embrace us. That you would cause your face to shine upon us. And Father, we thank you that you said if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us. And Father, we confess to you that we have not loved you with all our mind, our heart, and our soul, and our strength. And we'd ask for your forgiveness for that. And we'd ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that you would empower us with the Holy Spirit so that next year we could love you more than we have this year. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. And all the people of God said, Amen.